I needed the drones as an early warning system for the target drones, which, with target control system, might be a much worse threat than the squishy targets. Plus, three of my drones scouting in the main section near Art's control area had disappeared in the last 97 seconds, which meant they had encountered stealth target drones. I was losing my eyes in the rest of the ship, and that was really not an ideal situation. It sucked, basically. Even my risk assessment module thought so, and I knew what its opinion was worth. We reached the hatch into the quarters section, and I stepped to the side to let the humans through, then hit the manual release. The hatch slid shut, and I pulled the panel, then used the energy weapon in my right arm to melt a couple of key components. Behind me, this was going on. "Why is it doing that?" Ross asked Amina. She stared blankly at him, then said, "Sec unit, why are you doing that?" Checking Art's schematic had let me pick a couple of access points. I could close off the living section, containing the quarters, medical, galley, classrooms, and crew lounges, from the rest of the ship by sealing two more hatches. It wasn't the best choice, but trying to cross over to engineering or the lab module wasn't feasible at the moment, and the humans would need the supplies here. I was betting the target drones had no arm extensions to repair the hatches. The targets themselves could, but I'd have warning and time to get there first. And the targets could get to us via an outer hatch, but they'd have to take the evac suits out across the hull while we were in the wormhole, and from what I'd seen in the entertainment media, that was a bad idea. "I'm trying to create a safe zone." Amina turned to Ross and said, "It's trying to create a safe zone." As he looked from her to me and back again, I stepped past and started down the passage. Then, three drones in my scout formation winked out of existence at the corridor junction ahead. I threw myself forward, rolled into the junction, and shot the two target drones waiting there with my left arm energy weapon. One dropped to the deck, the second wobbled in the air. I came to my feet and smashed it against the bulkhead. My drone scout 2 in the control area foyer recorded the targets pounding on the sealed hatch again. Did they think we, or someone, was inside? They weren't using translators with each other, and I couldn't understand what they were saying. I told my drone cloud to continue down the corridor toward the medical suite to make sure it was clear. I told the humans, "Hurry." None of them argued, and they limped after me rapidly. Down two corridors, then a turn, and we were there. The med systems platform was quiet and powered down. The surgical system folded up into the ceiling, no sign of the medical drones. It was weird. Not bad weird, just weird, seeing this place again. This was where Art had made the changes to my configuration, to help me pass as a human, where it had saved my client, Tapan. Ugh, emotions. I checked the space, scanning the restroom and shower compartment, the morgue, and the other enclosed areas to make sure there weren't target drones, targets, or any other as yet unknown hostile lurking. The humans stood in the middle of the room, watching me anxiously. I finished my sweep, told them, "Stay here." I left one drone to keep my feed relay with Amina active and walked out, shutting the hatch behind me. I sent my drone cloud ahead and sprinted after it, heading toward the hatch at the opposite end of the module. If the targets had figured out what I was doing, this was the closest hatch to the control area foyer where they were still gathered. As I reached the hatch I needed to seal, I risked a look down the short module passage into the next section. My organic nerve tissue detected movement, and I hit the hatch release to shut it. I sealed the manual controls, left a drone sentry, and took off for the last hatch. Inside the medical suite, the humans were still huddled together. Elytra whispered,
"Can you tell what it's doing?"
Amina said,
"It's sealing the hatches, like it said it would."
Ross looked frustrated and impatient, but didn't argue. The third hatch led to a connecting section which was a secondary pathway into the engineering module. This hatch was already closed and sealed, but I fused the manual control anyway. I'd lost all but four drone scouts in the rest of the ship. One, Scout One, was still locked in the control meeting area with the two dead targets. Scout Two was in the foyer ceiling watching the targets gathered at the sealed hatch, and Three and Four had tucked themselves up under supporting rib structures in nearby corridors. I started back toward medical, letting my surviving drone cloud spread out a little more. Bits of me hurt enough that I needed to tune down my pain sensors. At the medical corridor, I split my drones into two squads and positioned them at opposite ends of the access. I needed to clear this section and make sure I hadn't trapped us in here with anything, but there were things I wanted to know first. When I stepped inside, Ross said, "What's going on?" He glanced at Amina, still unsure who to talk to. "Are we safe here?" I knew Art's normal crew size. The command crew alone was at least 8 members, with a rotating complement of instructors and students. I knew from my brief sweep that there was no sign anyone had been treated in the medical suite recently. No dead humans in cold storage. Which was good, except that the bodies could have been spaced. I knew how Art would have felt about that. I said, "Where's the crew of this ship?" Again, Ross looked at Amina. Amina's brow furrowed, and she said to me, "I thought they were the crew."
"No,"
Elytra said. She seemed confused, too.
"Our ship was a bearish Estranza transport."
Amina turned to Ross and Elytra.
"So, where are the crew of this ship?"
Ross shook his head in annoyance.
"Look, I can see you're young. I'm guessing this SEC unit was ordered to protect you, but..."
Amina made a derisive huff.
"It doesn't even like me."
Admittedly, I am tired of the whole concept of humans at the moment, but that was unfair because she didn't like me first.
"If you tell it to take orders from us," Ross tried again, "this will be a lot easier."
Elytra nodded.
"It's for the best. It doesn't seem like you know how to control it."
Amina waved her hands in exasperation.
"Look, that's not..."
"I see I have some operational parameters to establish." I crossed the room, grabbed Ross by the front of his uniform jacket, and slammed him down on the med platform. I said, "Answer my question." Behind me, Elytra had flinched and backed away. Amina said,
"Sec unit! My mother will be angry if you hurt him."
"Oh, we were going to try that tactic, were we?" I said, "You obviously don't know how your mother actually feels about corporates." Elytra said frantically,
"We don't know where the crew is. Ross, just tell it. We don't know."
Ross rasped out,
"We don't know."
I said, "Is that the truth or is that the story you're going with?"
"It's the truth," Ross managed. "We don't know what happened to them." "We really don't,"
Elytra added, urgent enough to be convincing.
"We haven't seen anyone else since we were brought aboard. Just those people."
I let Ross up and he scrambled away from me, over to Elytra on the far side of the room. His expression was frightened, incredulous.
"Stop being so mean,"
Amina hissed at me. I lowered my voice and I sounded absolutely normal and not like I was upset at all. "I am trying to keep you alive."
"I appreciate that, but..."
She squinted up at me.
"You look really bad. Are you sure you're all right? That drone hit you really hard."
"Yeah, well, I can't do anything about that right now." I said, "You need to take care of your leg, but do not activate the med system. It was controlled by..." For nearly 10 seconds, I'd forgotten. By the bot pilot. It was compromised before it was destroyed, or
it would have killed the intruders itself. Something is still running the ship, taking us through the wormhole, and whatever it is may have control of the med system. Amina threw a worried look at the silent medical platform. So did Ross and Elytra. Amina said,
I didn't know bot pilots could kill people.
They're almost as dangerous as humans. I know. Of every argument I could try to start right now, that one is in the top five most stupidly pointless. Amina gave me a baffled glare, but said,
Right. So no med system. There's got to be some manual med supplies here somewhere.
Use one of the emergency kits in that locker. I need to finish clearing this section. I hit our private relay and added, I'll leave you some drones. I cut a squad of eight out of my cloud and told them to stay with her. Her eyes widened and she hesitated. For 3 seconds, I didn't understand why. She hadn't been afraid when I'd grabbed Ross. Her expression had been more annoyed than anything else. Then I realized she didn't want to separate. She took a sharp breath and said,
All right.
On the feed relay, she added,
Good, drones. That's what I've always wanted.
I could have said, Don't say I never gave you anything, and we could have had reassuring sarcastic banter like one of my shows, but I was walking around in Art's corpse, and nothing felt reassuring. I just said, I'll stay in contact. I walked out, headed for the quarters section. Scout 2 in the control area foyer was still watching a confused, agitated conversation among the targets. Wait, something was different again about their helmets. I ran back the video and spotted it. The color had changed from a dull blue-gray to the same patterned stealth material as the target drones. The targets noticed when it happened, pointing at each other and commenting on it, but they didn't seem to find it surprising or unusual. Another security update by target control system. That's all I fucking need. My drone targeting would be completely thrown off. Fortunately, the update hadn't been, or more probably couldn't be, loaded to the rest of their body armor. But killer drone strikes might be completely off the table now. I wondered why the targets had been pounding on the hatch. If targets 1 and 3 could come back from the dead, Scout 1 hadn't recorded any sign of it. Huh. Depending on how target control system collected data from the target drones, how they recorded and transmitted video, the three remaining targets might actually have very little idea of what had happened to targets 1, 2, and 3. They knew Amina and I had been brought aboard. They had to. But they seemed focused on the sealed control area. They hadn't gone to the lounge where Target 2's body still was. Maybe, despite the target drones and target control systems updates, they didn't have access to surveillance data? Target control system obviously knew physical impacts had killed the targets, or it wouldn't have coded the updates. Was it not sharing that information with the targets? It was a strange idea, I know. And if correct, it was more proof for the theory that the targets had little to no access to most of Art's onboard systems, even though target control system was running helm and presumably weapons. Though Art didn't have feed accessible security cams like a normal transport. Art. I pulled together a simple code for penetration testing and started to run it in the background on all the channels where I thought there might be target drone activity. I was going to break into target control system and do terrible things to it. And if the targets were that confused about what had happened and where we were, I could use that. I started another process to pull recorded audio out of my archive. If I had a plan at the moment, which I did not, it would involve stalling a lot. We were in the wormhole, and whatever our destination was, it would take several day cycles at least, probably more, possibly a lot more, to get anywhere. I had to seize control of the ship, Art, before then. In the medical suite, my drones watched Elytra pull an emergency kit out of the locker. Amina sat down heavily on a bench as Elytra got the kit open. Ross glanced warily up at my drones, which were in a circulating formation in the upper part of the compartment. He said, "That... your sec unit is really going to protect us?"
"Sure,"
Amina said, distracted, as Elytra handed her a wound pack. Elytra opened a container of medication tabs with a groan of relief.
"My back is killing me. They let us have ration bars from an emergency supply pack, but no meds. Nothing else,"
Ross persisted.
"You said your family owns it?"
"No, I didn't say that." Amina wrapped the wound pack around her injured leg. Then she almost fell over as it shot drugs for shock and pain right through her torn pants. I told her, "Tell them I'm under contract to the Preservation Survey."
"It's under contract to the Preservation Survey."
Amina shoved herself upright again.
"That's true. So why are you telling me to say it like it's a lie?"
"Because under contract means something completely different to them. In the Preservation Alliance, it meant I'd agreed to work for the survey for a specifically limited amount of time in return for compensation. In the Corporation Rim, it would have meant the survey had rented me from an owner, the same way you'd rent your habitat or your terrain vehicle. Except humans usually had warm feelings toward their habitats and terrain vehicles. Ross seemed confused by Amina's answer, but he just said, "We need something that will take out those drones." He started to search through the emergency kit and pulled out a container of fire suppressant.
"This might work."
Elytra slid down to sit on the floor. She offered Amina the medication container.
"I don't think I've heard of the Preservation Survey. Is that a subsidiary of another corporation, or..."
While Amina explained the concept of a non-corporate polity to Elytra, and how many polities did actually have surveys and stations and cities and so on, and weren't just people in loincloths screaming at each other, I reached the quarters and started a quick search. Some cabins were clearly unused, mostly the ones with multiple bunks that were meant for students. The beds were still folded up in the walls, and there were no personal possessions in sight, just like the last time I had been here. Other cabins showed recent habitation. Beds and furniture deployed, bedding in place but disarrayed, clothing and personal objects and hygiene items lying around. Like the crew had just been here, had just stepped away right before I looked in. It was creepy, with no movement, except the air system making the fabric tassels of a wall decoration flutter. Still no sign of any bodies. I sent to Amina, "Don't tell the corporates that you're Dr. Mensa's daughter."
"I'm not stupid," she shot back.
They were past the explanation of what preservation was, and were finally exchanging actual information, including their names and what the hell was going on. Amina said,
"This ship attacked us right after we came out of the wormhole. How did you get aboard?" "It attacked us, too. We were on a supply transport, supporting the main expedition ship, an explorer, when this ship started to fire on us. We escaped in a shuttle, then we were pulled aboard. At least that's what I think happened."
Elytra shoved her hair back and looked exhausted.
"They did something that knocked us unconscious in the shuttle. One moment we were there, the next we were lying on the deck in this ship, and those gray people were laughing at us. I don't know what happened to the others."
I wondered if the shuttle was still aboard, if Art's shuttles were still aboard. Without access to Art's systems, I couldn't tell without a physical search, like I didn't have enough to do right now. Speaking of which, I tapped Scout 1, which was still trapped in the bridge control area, and told it to do a systematic scan of any active displays it could find.
We don't know why they took us, Ross said. They locked us in a cabin and just left us there. We don't know what they want. They wouldn't tell us.
The Explorer was much faster, Elytra said. It might have gotten away.
I think our base ship got away, Amina said slowly.
The SEC unit was trying to get us over to it, and they grabbed us and pulled us into their lock.
There were too many places in ART that I hadn't searched yet where the bodies of the crew might be stashed. Maybe I do watch too much media, because in the empty corridors, passing empty but recently used rooms, I had an image of finding Mensa's family camp house like this. Empty. No humans. Just their possessions left behind and no trace in the feed. No cameras. No way to find them. This was no time to be an idiot.
Is there any food or water in here?
Elytra said. She rested her head in her hands.
I've got a terrible headache.
Ross pushed to his feet, wincing. There's a restroom with a water tap. In the next set of quarters, I started to find the anomalies. One cabin, I was pretty certain, was the one used to lock up Ross and Elytra. A crumpled jacket that matched their uniforms lay on a bunk. The cabin didn't have an attached restroom, but didn't smell as bad as I would have expected. Humans trapped for multiple cycles with no access to water or sanitary devices is usually harder on the furniture. The targets must have been letting them out, periodically. My process to select some audio, a series of conversations between two of my favorite recurring characters on Sanctuary Moon, finished. I stripped out music and effects, lowered the volume, and cut the sections together into an hour and 22 minutes, then relayed it to Scout 1 inside the sealed control area. It started to play the audio. I'd constructed the query to search for conversations where the two characters were whispering or speaking in low, agitated voices. The effect would be even better with Scout 1 roaming the control area looking for display surface data. I continued to search the quarters. I thought the targets must have been using these cabins too. They didn't exactly strike me as beings who would respect other beings' personal space. But the odd smell was the first indication I was right. Human living spaces tend to smell like dirty socks, even when they're clean. But this smell was oddly agricultural, like the growth medium used in food-producing systems. According to Scout 2 in the control area foyer, all the targets now had their helmets pressed up against the hatch, trying to hear the conversation inside. Despite everything, it was a little funny.
So, were you on a survey too?
Amina asked. I could tell she was trying to sound casual, but it may have been less obvious to the other humans.
No. Well, in a way, Ross said.
He had filled some water containers from the restroom tap and brought them back for the group.
It was a recovery.
An attempted recovery,
Elytra said. She took a long drink from a container and wiped her mouth.
Our division was assigned to work on lost settlements.
She hesitated.
I'm not... It's proprietary information.
I'm a junior survey intern, and I'm not even from the Corporation Rim, Amina pointed out.
I'm not going to tell anybody.
Ross didn't seem as reluctant to explain as Elytra. We were on an assignment to recover a viable planet in one of the systems that were mapped before the Corporation Rim formed. Do you know about those?
Of course.
Amina's brow was furrowed in confusion. I didn't get it either.
My education modules have gaps you could fly a gunship through, but I knew from the entertainment media that there had been exploration surveys pre-Corporation Rim. Corporations didn't actually invent space and planets, despite the patents the company had tried to file. Elytra shifted, winced, then took a breath.
The locations to a lot of systems were lost before wormhole stabilizing tech was developed, but researchers find them sometimes in reconstructed data troves. If a corporation can find the planet's location, they can file for ownership. Then they're free to establish a colony.
There was a lot of this type of speculation 40 or 50 years ago, Ross continued. Of course, a lot of corporations overextended and went bankrupt over it, too, and the colonies were lost.
Lost?
From Amina's expression, she understood now, but she didn't like it.
You mean abandoned colonies, settlements, where the first arrivals were just left to fend for themselves?
I understood now, too. This was in Preservation's historical dramas and documentaries. It had been settled by survivors of a colony which had been seeded, and then began to fail as supplies were cut off. In Preservation's case, an independent ship had arrived in time and managed to take the colonists to a more viable planet. The story was popular in Preservation media. There's always a dramatic rendition of Captain Consuela Makiba's speech about not leaving a single living thing behind to die. Mensa has a clip from one of the most popular ones on a display surface on the wall of her station office. If there'd been a sec unit in the colony, there probably would have been a compelling reason why it had to stay behind on the dying planet. I don't actually believe that. Sometimes I believe that. Reclaiming the lost colonies is big business now, Ross said. He finished his water and set the container aside. The terraforming equipment is usually still in place, as well as habitats and other salvage. Amina's expression was flat and stony. She pretended to need to fiddle with her wound pack so she didn't have to look at them.
So, did you find a lost colony?
We were attacked on the way there, Elytra said, as Ross was drawing breath to answer. I found a larger cabin that looked like it had been deliberately trashed. Clothing lay trampled on the floor, some of it in the blue of Art's crew uniform. Hygiene items had been opened and dumped or smeared around on the small attached restroom. A couple of actual static art pieces and a holographic print of humans playing musical instruments had been thrown on the floor and broken. Someone had tried to break a display surface, but hadn't managed it, and it floated sideways, still showing a static image of two male humans, not young, maybe Mensa's age or older, but that was as much as I could guess. I was no good at judging human ages. One had dark skin and no hair on the front half of his head, and the other was lighter, with short white hair. They were both smiling at the camera with an embossed version of Art's logo on the wall behind them. I could look them up in my archive of Art's crew compliment, but I didn't want to. I felt something build in my chest. I pulled the recording of my conversations with Art the way it said, "My crew." It was bad enough that Art must be dead. It wasn't fair that the humans it had loved so much were dead, too. I wanted to find a bunch more algae-smelling, gray, snotty assholes and kill the shit out of every single one. A sudden 5% dip in performance reliability made my knees go shaky, and I leaned on the cabin hatch. For 12 seconds, it seemed like a good idea to slide all the way down to the deck and just stay there. But I should get back to Amina. Also, after the targets had rampaged through here, the deck was pretty disgusting. In the medical suite, the conversation had moved back to me. Oh, goody. Elytra was saying,
"You really have to be careful. That sec unit seems to have been altered to make it look less like a bot, but that doesn't change their programming."
"Hmm," Amina said, not looking at her, still picking at the wound pack on her leg.
Ross put in, "I know you think it's trying to protect you."
"It's not trying."
Amina's tone was clipped.
"It's protecting me."
"But they're not reliable," Ross persisted. "It's because of the human neural tissue."
Well, he wasn't wrong.
Ross added, "They go rogue and attack their contract holders and support staff."
Amina bit her lip and squinched up her eyes in a way that said she was suppressing an emotion, but I couldn't tell what.
"I wonder why that is," she said in a flat voice.
On the way to medical, I walked through the galley and the classroom compartments and swung by a supply locker and grabbed a prepacked emergency ration bag. They had an awful lot of supplies in here for planetary exploration, not what you'd expect on a ship whose jobs were mapping and teaching and cargo. As I turned down the corridor, I tapped Amina's feed to tell her I was coming back and started reviewing my archive, comparing the time I had been aboard ART before with what I saw now. Did I actually know what ART and its crew did? I had never bothered to ask. Deep space research sounded boring, almost as boring as guarding mining equipment. In the med bay, Elytra was saying,
"You're very lucky it didn't turn on you while you were being held on this ship. You must have been locked up here with it for days and days."
"Wait, what?" "Great. Were the humans having problems perceiving reality? Even more than the usual problems humans have perceiving reality?" That was all I needed. Amina was just going to have to deal with it because I was busy.
Amina was baffled.
No, we just got here. Just a little while ago. Right before the gray people dragged me into that room."
Ross rubbed his face, either concealing his expression or just genuinely unwell. Elytra looked pitying.
"I think you're confused."
Amina's expression scrunched up again, but she shook her head.
"Look, a sec unit's coming back, so you need to stop saying all this stuff about it. I know you believe it, but you're wrong, and I don't want to hear it. And I think maybe we're both confused, because..."
Maybe staring at space and teaching young humans to stare at space wasn't all ART's crew did. Maybe ART had let me think that.
Right.
So I had drone input from the medical bay, but I wasn't paying attention to it. I was searching for images of stored supplies to compare and look for anomalies, missing items, other clues. So I only had a 1.4-second warning when I stepped through the hatch and Ross fired a weapon at me. For a human, his aim was great.
Chapter 6.
Fortunately, it was an energy weapon and not a sec unit head-busting projectile. It still fucking hurt. I flinched and rammed into the side of the hatch, ow, and dove sideways to avoid the second blast, except there wasn't one, because Ross was flailing instead of aiming. Amina had jumped on his back and was trying to choke him out. It was a good effort, but she didn't have the leverage to really clamp down with her forearm. Elytra stood nearby, waving her arms and yelling,
"Stop! What are you doing? Stop!"
Which was frankly the most sensible thing I had heard a human say in hours. It also told me this wasn't a planned attack, which is what stopped me from putting a drone through Ross's face. Also, I was running out of drones. If I sound calm, I was actually not calm. I thought I'd had control of the situation, sort of control, okay? Don't laugh. And then it had unraveled rapidly. I pushed off the hatch and walked over to pick up the weapon Ross had dropped. It was like, or possibly identical to, or possibly actually was, the tube-like energy weapon Target 2 had used on me. Ross must have picked it up while I was distracted by having an emotional breakdown. Yeah, that was a huge mistake. It had caused pain in my organic tissue, but it hadn't disrupted any processes, so I knew it would be no use on the Target drones. But at least it should work on the targets. I put it in my jacket pocket. Then I stepped in, kicked Ross in the back of the kneecap, and caught Amina around the waist. He hit the floor, and I set her on her feet. Amina was almost as angry as I was.
"What's wrong with you?"
she shouted at Ross. She glared at Alitra, who made a helpless, baffled gesture. You know, if Ross was going to turn on me, he might have at least warned Alitra first, so she wasn't standing around wondering what the hell was going on. Ross shoved to his feet and said,
"You can't trust any of them. It could be any of them. They control them."
He staggered back away from us. His eyes were unfocused.
"You don't... any of them."
Amina's furious expression turned confused.
"Any of what?"
That was a good question. I'd seen humans do irrational things, a lot of irrational things, and encounter situations that made them act in ways that were counterproductive at best. This was not the first time I'd been shot in the head by a human I was trying to protect. Let's put it that way. But this was odd, even granting the fact that I'd physically intimidated Ross earlier. Elytra winced and pressed a hand to her head.
"Ross, that doesn't make sense. What?"
Then her eyes rolled up, and she collapsed. Amina made a grab for her, then flinched away when Ross folded up and hit the floor. Then Elytra started to convulse. Amina threw herself down on the deck, trying to support Elytra's head. Ross lay in a tumble, completely limp. Amina looked frantic. I was a little frantic, too.
"They took some medication from the emergency kit," she said.
She jerked her head toward the open kit and the container beside it.
"They're supposed to be analgesics. Could they be poisoned?"
It wasn't a bad suggestion, but if this was something in the medication, I thought the reaction would involve bodily fluids and be way more disgusting. Amina wasn't affected, so it wasn't something spread by contact or transmitted through the air system or the water containers. Elytra looked more like her nervous system was being jolted by a power source. Ross looked dead. I stepped over to the emergency kit still sitting on the bench. It had some limited autonomous functions and had expanded and opened new compartments, responding to the human's distress. I took the small medical scanner it was trying to hand me and pointed it at Ross. It sent its report to my feed with scan images of the inside of Ross's body. A power source had jolted through the upper part of his chest, destroying the important parts there for pumping blood and breathing. It looked oddly like what being punished by a governor module felt like. Now there's a thought. I checked Scout 2 in the control area foyer. The targets had stopped listening at the sealed hatch and were gathered around Target 4, who now held a strange, bulky device. It was 12 centimeters across and a millimeter thick with a flat, old-fashioned, solid-state screen. I'd seen them on historical dramas. All the targets seemed excited about whatever it was showing them. If it was something that made the targets happy, it couldn't be good. My scan detected a tiny power source on both Elytra and Ross. It hadn't been there earlier, so something had activated it, most likely a signal from Target 4's screen device. There was no time for finesse. I jammed the whole range. Elytra slumped, limp and unconscious. If there'd been a last-ditch destroy-the-brain function, there was nothing I could do about it. Scout 2 now showed Target 4 poking angrily at the screen as the others watched in obvious disappointment. Huh. Amina, in the middle of yelling, "Will you stop just standing there and do something?" halted abruptly. The rest came out as a startled huff. She added, "Did you do that?"
"Yes." I crouched down and lifted Elytra out of Amina's lap. This was caused by implants. I carried Elytra over to the nearest gurney and carefully set her down. Amina scrambled up and went to Ross. She reached for his arm, and I said, "He's dead." She jerked her hand back, then fumbled for the pulse in his neck.
"What? How?"
I sent the med scanner's images to her feed, and she winced.
"You said it was an implant. Is that like an augment?"
"No, it's like an implant. Augments were supposed to help humans do things they couldn't otherwise do, like interface with the feed more completely or store memory archives. Augments that weren't feed interfaces were meant to correct physical injuries or illnesses. Augments are helpful. Implants are like governor modules." I pointed the med scanner at Elytra. It found a raised temperature, increased heart rate, and increased respiration rate. I didn't know what that meant, but it sounded bad. When this happened, I had a drone view of the targets in the central section using an unknown device. Amina pushed to her feet and stood beside Elytra's gurney. She was accessing the medical scan data, and her expression had that vague look that humans get when they're reading in their feed.
"That looks like an infection."
Elytra said her back hurt. Her face scrunching up with worry and fear, Amina carefully moved the dark hair away from Elytra's neck, then half turned her. She had to pull down the back of Elytra's shirt to find it. "Yeah, there was the implant." Amina sucked in a breath.
"That looks terrible."
It was a metal ring, 1.1 centimeters wide, visible against the brown skin between Elytra's shoulder blades. It sat in the middle of a rictus of swollen flesh that looked painful, even to me, and that was saying something. Normal external interfaces for humans were designed to look like all kinds of things, from carved natural wood to skin tones, to jewels or stones or enamel art pieces to actual plain metal with a brand logo. And why would Elytra, who was an augmented human with an internal interface, need a second external one? And any remote chance that this was some kind of botched attempt at a medical or enhancement augment was outweighed by the fact that no human would put up with this when any med system could fix it in a few minutes at most. And botched was putting it mildly. It looked like a bad human medic had jammed it in with their toes. Amina was working the problem.
"Why didn't they tell us? We could have... unless they didn't know it was there. They said they were unconscious when they were brought aboard."
The consternation in her expression deepened.
"Did Ross's implant tell him to attack you? Or just make him so confused that he shot at the first person who walked in the door? These implants are obviously supposed to incapacitate them if they tried to escape, to keep them under control."
"I'm familiar with the concept," I told her. "One of the indispensable benefits of being a rogue sec unit, not having to pretend to attentively listen to a human's unnecessary explanations." I had one in my head.
"Right."
She flicked a startled look at me. I love it when humans forget that sec units are not just guarding and killing things voluntarily, because we think it's fun.
"Then why did it take the gray people so long to activate the implants? Why didn't they do it right after we escaped?"
"Yeah, about that. I hadn't kept her updated on my intel. I don't think the surviving targets knew what happened when we were captured." Amina argued,
"But that one target got away."
"I used my drones to kill that target and a third one after they locked themselves in the ship's control area. The other targets have been trying to get through the sealed hatch and seem to think we're inside."
I sent Amina a section of my drone video from the control area foyer. They may think Elytra and Ross are in there with us, or they activated the implants to try to figure out where they are. Amina's gaze went vague as she reviewed the clip on her feed.
Is that why they're listening to the hatch?
I checked the input. Yeah, they were back to that again. My drone is playing a recording of a conversation. Amina lifted her brows.
Right, that's really clever. Can you use the drones to threaten them? And
I showed her the clip of the change to the target's helmets. No, this security update prevents that. Amina grimaced and rubbed her brow.
I see. So, how do we get to the bridge?
You know, it's not like I'm half-assing this. I am actually trying my best, despite the fuck-ups. I absolutely did not sound testy, as I said. I don't know. I have a scout drone in the control area, but it can't access any of the systems. Amina stopped and looked at me with an incredulous expression.
So, we're locked out of the bridge, and the bot pilot is gone, and we don't know what's flying the ship.
The good thing about being a construct is that you can't reproduce and create children to argue with you. This time I did sound testy. I'm working on it. I turned the medical scanner's image so I could see what was under Elytra's implant. I really expected the shitty primitive governor module to have filaments extending directly into the human's nervous system, like a normal augment. But there were no filaments. The images the scanner sent to our feed connection showed the implant was self-contained, narrowing to a blunt point. Amina held up her hands.
Fine. Wow, you're so touchy, she added. Okay, so if they knew these things were implanted, they would have asked us to help them, even if they didn't trust us.
Her brow furrowed again.
I can't imagine they wouldn't have.
I agreed. They hadn't even asked about the med system or the medical equipment in the emergency kit. If I was a human and I had this thing jammed in me and I happened to run into a fully stocked medical suite to hide, it would have been at the top of my to-do list.
We have to get this thing out before it kills her, too.
Amina studied the diagrams and images the scanner sent into our feed.
It's really primitive. It must have been causing the confusion and pain, but that wouldn't make them forget it was there.
I rotated the images so I could make sure I was right about the depth. No, something else did that.
It's not very good for what it's trying to do.
Amina made a violent jabbing motion at her own neck.
If you knew it was there, and you could get away from the person trying to zap you, you could pop it out with a knife.
Note to self. Make sure Amina has no reason to jab at her own neck with a knife. Not if you thought it was interwoven with your neural tissue. At least when I dealt with my governor module, I'd had access to my own schematics and diagnostics. Amina wasn't listening. She went over to rummage in the emergency kit.
Her vital signs are getting worse.
She found a laser scalpel case and brandished it.
I'm going to try to take the implant out.
You have medic training. It was worth asking.
Basic training, sure.
I was making an expression again because she grimaced.
I know, but you said we shouldn't use the med system, and we have to do something.
She wasn't wrong. The kit was transmitting increasingly plaintive warnings. There was a lot of technical medical data to process, but the conclusion was obvious that the activation had caused damage to Elytra, if not as much as it had to Ross. The kit was demanding we intervene soon. Most of my medical knowledge came from watching Med Center Argala, a historical drama series that had been popular 27 corporate standard years ago and was still available for download on almost every media feed I had ever encountered. Even I knew it was inaccurate. I also found it kind of boring, so I'd only watched it once. I held my hand out for the scalpel. Amina hesitated. Did she think I was going to kill Elytra? I'd put up with way more annoying humans, including some that she was related to. Then she handed the scalpel over,
her expression a mix of relief and guilt.
I could do it if I had to.
Huh. Amina wanted to help, maybe to prove herself. I said, I know you could. She hadn't been bluffing about the neck-jabbing thing, I could tell. But if we were wrong, and removing the implant killed Elytra, at least this wouldn't be my first accidental murder. Also, my hands don't shake. Amina got another wound seal pack out and engaged the emergency kit's sterile field. I followed its instructions to spray anesthetic prep fluid. Then, with the occasional pop-up help hint from the kit's feed, I used the scalpel to cut through the damaged tissue. I had a drone view of Amina watching the hand scanner, her brow furrowed in half-wince, half-concentration. I avoided the bits that would bleed a lot. Not something a human trying to do this to their own body could have managed, so there, Amina. And the implant popped out. And Elytra woke up. She gasped a breath, her eyes open, staring without comprehension at Amina's stomach. I stepped back, and Amina hastily fit the pack over the wound before too much blood leaked out. It powered up and snugged in close to Elytra's skin. Her eyes fluttered closed again. From the report on the emergency kit's feed, the pack had delivered a hefty punch of painkillers and antibiotics. I put the implant in the little container the emergency kit offered, and the kit dutifully sprayed it with something. I hope the kit knew what it was doing, because I sure didn't.
It's okay. It's okay, we're helping you,
Amina was telling Elytra, patting her hand. Ross's body was there in the middle of everything, and that just felt wrong. I picked it up and carried it to a gurney on the far side of the room. In a supply cabinet, I found a cover to put over him, but before I did, I pulled down his jacket and shirt to look at his implant. It was on his shoulder blade, surrounded by damaged tissue, much thicker and more swollen than Elytra's. I wondered if he had known it was there at some point, if he had jabbed at his back with something trying to get it out before the targets made him forget about it again. It was still a stupid thing to do, but I understood the impulse. I understood it a lot. Then the emergency kit blared an alarm through our feed as Elytra's pulse and respiration rate dropped. The kit flashed a handy annotated diagram of what we should do into the feed. Amina swore a lot and helped me roll Elytra over. I started chest compressions, being extremely careful with the amount of pressure I was exerting. Amina frantically grabbed for the resuscitation devices. The kit was trying to be helpful, but it was nothing like a med system sliding into my feed with everything I needed to know right there. It was urging me to start rescue breathing, but I couldn't. My lungs work in a completely different way than human lungs do. It's not only that I need much less air, but the connections are all different. Aside from the utterly disgusting thought of putting my mouth, which I talk with, on a human, ugh. I didn't think I could expel enough air for what the kit wanted me to do. Amina ran over and started the rescue breathing herself, but it wasn't working. I told her, "We need the mask." Amina gave up with a gasp of frustration and went back to the kit. She found the mask and wrestled with its sterile packaging, trying to rip the plastic with her teeth, and I couldn't stop compressions to help her. Yes, I did just realize we should have thought of this possibility earlier. They never showed humans getting the tools ready on MedCenter Argala. It was all just there. Then, from across the compartment, the med system made a soft clunk and its platform lights turned violet. It had just powered on. Amina stopped, the mask in her hand, finally. She spat out a piece of plastic wrapper and demanded,
"Did you get it turned on?"
No. That was Art's med system, but without Art. Its reactivated feed said it was operating at factory standard. It could be one more weird anomaly in this unending cycle of what the fuck, or it could be a trick. Target control system trying to get us to put Elytra in there so it could kill her. Except that Elytra was dying anyway, so why bother? And I tried not to see this as some remnant of Art still in the ship acting to save a human. Well, fuck it.
I stopped compressions, scooped up Elytra, and carried her to the med system's platform. I set her down, and the surgical suite dropped over her immediately, a pad settling over her chest to restart her heartbeat and a much more complicated mask apparatus lowering to work on her respiration. In 6 seconds, it had her breathing on her own and her heartbeat stabilized. The platform contoured to roll her onto her side. Delicate feelers peeled away the wound pack and tossed it onto the deck, then started to knit the raw, bleeding spot in her back. On the gurney, the emergency kit beeped once in protest, then shut up. Amina let out a long breath of relief, then wiped her face on her sleeve. She started to gather the scattered pieces of the kit's resuscitation gear. Trying to fit them back into their containers, she said,
"So, what turned the med system on?"
I said, "I know as much as you do about what is happening on this ship." Which was why I put the unknown corporate human who was dying anyway in the possibly compromised med system and not, say, Amina or myself. I didn't like that Elytra had nearly died, despite the fact that we had followed all the instructions carefully. I didn't like that Ross had died before we could do anything. I especially didn't like that the targets had killed him. He wasn't my human, but he had popped off right in front of me, and I hadn't been able to do anything about it. They're so fucking fragile. Amina glared, then eyed me speculatively.
"Are you sure you're not hurt? You did get shot in the head, again. And didn't that gray person shoot you before you tore their lungs out?"
I hadn't felt any lungs while I was rummaging around in Target 2's chest cavity, but I'm sure they were in there somewhere. It was just an energy weapon.
"It was just an energy weapon,"
Amina muttered to herself, in a very bad imitation of my voice, while determinedly trying to fit the mask attachment with the oxygen nodules into the wrong slot.
"If you weren't so angry at me, you'd realize I was right."
"For fuck's sake, I am not angry at you." Okay, that's a lie. I was angry at her, or really annoyed at her, and I had no idea why. It wasn't her fault she was here. We were here. She hadn't done anything but be human, and she wasn't even whiny. And her first reaction to another human shooting me had been to jump on his back and try to choke him. Amina gave up on the mask and gave me her full attention.
"You look angry."
"That's just something my face does sometimes. This is why helmets with opaque faceplates are a good idea." Amina snorted in disbelief.
"Yes, when you're angry."
She hesitated, and I couldn't interpret her expression, except that it wasn't annoyed anymore.
"I should have said more when they were talking about you. It was just like my history and political consciousness class. I didn't think the instructors were making things up, but it was just like the examples they used."
They had been talking about me as a sec unit, the way humans always talked about sec units, and it had been pretty mild compared to a lot of things I had heard humans say. If I got angry every time that happened, I don't know, but it sounded exhausting. Talking about this was exhausting. "I'm not angry about that," Amina demanded.
"If you're not angry, then what's wrong?"
I was definitely glaring now. "How do you want the list sorted? By timestamp or degree of survivability?" Amina said in exasperation,
"I mean, what's wrong with you?"
There's that question again. But I assumed she didn't want to discuss the existential quandary posed by my entire existence. "I got hit on the head by an unidentified drone and shot. You were there."
"Not that. Why are you sad and upset?"
That was the point where even I could tell that Amina was terrified as well as furious.
"There's something you're not telling me, and it's scaring me. I'm not a fucking hero like my second mom, or a genius like everybody else in my family. I'm just ordinary, and you're all I've got."
I wasn't expecting that. It was so far from what I thought she had meant, and she was so upset that the truth inadvertently came out.
"My friend is dead."
Amina was startled. Staring blankly at me, she asked, "What friend? Somebody on the survey?" I couldn't stop now. No, this transport, this bot pilot. It was my friend, and it's dead. I think it's dead. I don't see how it would have let this happen if it wasn't dead. Wow, that did not sound rational. Amina's expression did something complicated. She took a step toward me. I backed up a step. She stopped, held up her hands, palm out, and said in a softer voice, "Hey, I think you need to sit down." Now she was talking to me like I was a hysterical human. Worse, I was acting like a hysterical human. I don't have time to sit down. When I was owned by the company, I wasn't allowed to sit down. Now humans keep wanting me to sit down. I have a lot of code to write so I can hack the target control system. Amina started to reach out for me and then pulled her hand back when I stepped away again. "But I think you're emotionally compromised right now." That was so completely not true. Stupid humans. Sure, I'd had an emotional breakdown with the whole evisceration thing, but I was fine now, despite the drop in performance reliability. Absolutely fine. And I had to kill the rest of the targets in the extremely painful ways I'd been visualizing. I needed to check Scout One's data to see if I could tell where we were going in the wormhole and how long it would take us to get there. And it occurred to me there might not be a destination if whatever was controlling Art's functions knew I'd killed three targets and had decided to revenge them by trapping us in the wormhole forever. I said, "I am not. You're emotionally compromised." I know, but at the time it seemed like a relevant comeback. Amina, like a rational person, ignored it. She said persuasively, "Won't it be easier to write code if you sit down?" I still wanted to argue, but maybe I did want to sit down. I sat down on the floor and cautiously tuned up my pain sensors. Oh, yeah, that hurt. Amina knelt down in front of me, angling her head so she could see my face. This did not help. She said, "I know you don't eat, but is there anything I can get you? Like something from the kit or a blanket?" I covered my face. "No." "Right. So say, just theoretically, I was emotionally compromised. A recharge cycle, which I actually didn't need right now, wasn't going to help with that. So what would help with that?" "Taking over target control system and hurting it very, very badly. That's what would help with that." My drone view showed Amina getting up and pacing slowly across the room, her shoulders drooping. Then, on the platform, Elytra stirred and made bleary noises. Amina hurried over to her, saying, "Hey, it's all right. You're okay." Elytra blinked and peered up at her. She managed to say, "What happened? Is Ross all right?" Amina leaned against the platform, and from the high angle, she looked older, with lines on either side of her mouth. Keeping her voice low, she said, "I'm sorry. He died. You had these strange implants in your back that were hurting you, and his killed him. We had to take yours out, and it almost killed you. Did you know they were there?" Elytra looked baffled. "What? No, that's... I don't understand." I checked my penetration testing, but there were no results. That was annoying. If a system won't communicate with me, I can't get inside it. And apparently target control system was operating as a single system. Stations and installations use multiple systems that work with each other as a safety feature. Safety is relative. I usually went in through a security system function and used it to get to all the others. Technically, I am a security system, so it was easy to get other security systems to interact with me, or to confuse them into thinking I was already part of them. There are still ways to get into heavily shielded systems, or systems with unreadable code, or unfamiliar architecture. I didn't have a lot of time, so I needed to use the most reliable method. Get a dumb human user to access the system for me. Ross's implant had ceased functioning, probably having destroyed its own power source to kill him. Elytra's implant was still in the emergency kit's little container where it thought anomalous things removed from humans needed to be stored. It was now covered with a sterile goo, but was still capable of receiving. I dropped my jamming signal. Via Scout 2 in the control area foyer, Target 4 had set the screen device aside on a bench. All the targets were talking, ignoring the control area hatch. They looked agitated and angry. They might have figured out that we weren't locked in the control area, finally. I was glad I hadn't had the chance to kill all of them, since there was a possibility now that they might actually come in handy. I had no idea where the target drones were, but logic and threat assessment said they should be congregated up against the hatchways, sealing off my safe zone. That was going to be a problem. I checked on Scout 1's progress, searching through the images of the floating display surfaces it had captured. Lots of shifting diagrams and numbers that might as well have been abstract art as far as I was concerned. These screens were meant to be interpreted through art's feed, and without it to explain and annotate the data, it was all a mess. Couldn't anything be simple just for once? I can fly low atmosphere craft, but nobody ever thought it was remotely rational to give murderbots the modules on piloting transports. Wait. Okay, there was a display with a schematic of Art's hull, with a lot of moving wavy patterns around it that probably would make sense if I knew anything about what happens in wormholes. There was a time counter on it, but nothing indicated what it was timing. So, not helpful. What would have been helpful was an episode of Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon, or World Hoppers, or anything. Anything except Med Center Argala. But media would call me down, and I wanted to stay angry. I couldn't sit here and wait. There had to be something else I could do. I stood up.
Oh, you're up.
Amina was sitting on the edge of the platform next to a half-conscious Elytra so she could hold her hand. She eyed me dubiously.
Already? I thought you were going to rest.
Do these make any sense to you? I sent her the display images from Art's Bridge. Amina blinked rapidly.
They're navigation and power information, like from a pilot station.
She took in my expression and waved a hand in exasperation.
Well, if you knew that, why didn't you say so?
Fine, that one was on me. They're from my drone sealed in the control area. Do you know how to read them? Amina squinted at nothing again, but slowly shook her head and groaned under her breath. She glanced down at Elytra, who was unconscious again, and carefully untangled their hands.
From what she said, I doubt she was on the bridge crew.
Then she lifted her brows.
Do you know if there's an aux station in engineering?
I didn't know that. An aux station?
It's like an extra monitoring station for the engineering crew. You can't take control of the bridge unless the command pilot transfers the helm. At least you couldn't in the ones I've seen. But you can get displays for the rest of the ship's systems. We have them on some of our ships, but I don't know how common they are.
She admitted.
We might have them because our ships are an older design.
It wasn't the kind of thing that would be needed on a bot-piloted transport, but it couldn't hurt to check. My performance reliability had leveled out at 89%. Not great, but I could work with it. I still hadn't identified the source of the drop. I'd taken multiple projectile hits without having that kind of steady drop. I took Ross's energy weapon out of my jacket pocket and set it on the bench. Keep this just in case.
It's not going to work on the target drones, but it should work on the targets. I hate giving weapons to humans, but I couldn't leave her without something. I'll go to engineering.
Hold it, wait!
Amina hopped off the platform.
I want to go with you.
I had a confusing series of reactions to this. Not in order. One, exasperation at her, at myself. Two, habitual suspicion. On my contracts for the company, the clingy clients were the ones most likely to A, get me shot, B, advocate loudly for abandoning the damaged sec unit because it would take too long to load me in the transport. And humans wonder why I have trust issues. Three, overwhelming urge to kill anything that even thought about threatening her. Someone has to stay here with the injured human. She grimaced.
Right. Sorry.
Then she looked away and rubbed her eyes. And I'd made her cry. Good job, Murderbot. I knew I'd been an asshole, and I owed Amina an apology. I'd attribute it to the performance reliability drop and the emotional breakdown, which I am provisionally conceding as ongoing rather than an isolated event that I am totally over now, and being involuntarily shut down and restarted. But I can also be kind of an asshole. Kind of equals in the 70% to 80% range. I didn't know what to say, but I didn't have time to do a search for relevant apology examples. And it's not like I ever find any relevant examples that I actually want to use. I said, I'm sorry for being an asshole. That made Amina make a noise like she was trying to express her sinuses, and then she covered her face.
No, I mean, it's all right. I haven't exactly been nice to you, so we're probably even.
I'm going now. Right now. Right now. I was at the hatch when she said,
Just don't stop talking to me on the feed.
I said, I won't. Helpme.file, excerpt 2. Section from interview, Baradwaj, 09257394.
I noticed a thing about your transcript.
Was the font wrong?
No, the font was lovely. But whenever the company is mentioned, you edit out the company and change it to the company.
Check session recording.
In fact, you've just done it now.
That's not a question.
You don't have to tell me anything you don't want to.
Pause.
Is it the logos? You've mentioned them before. I did think at the time that you wouldn't have known they were impossible to remove if you hadn't already tried.
That's one of the reasons.
We've talked a little about trauma recovery treatments. I wonder if you've ever thought about taking one yourself?
Session redacted. Chapter 7. I gave Amina a view of what I was doing via my main video input, so she would know I was still there and I didn't have to think what to say to her. Also, if there was an engineering aux station and it showed we were trapped forever, then she could see it for herself and I wouldn't have to tell her. As I went down the corridor, Amina said,
Why is the vid so jumpy? Is it from a drone?
It's from my eyes.
Oh.
I'd left the task group of 8 drones with her, and I could see her via their cameras. She sat on the platform next to Elytra, elbow propped on her knee.
This is creepy, she said.
I was passing a lounge attached to the galley, with blue padded couches along the walls. 3 cups with Arts University logo sat on a low table, and a gray jacket, one of the kinds humans wore for exercise, was draped over the back of a chair.
The way everything looks so normal. Like somebody could walk in any second.
She wasn't wrong. Except for those few cabins in the living quarters, I hadn't seen any areas that were trashed or where it looked like a struggle had occurred. is there anything about this situation that isn't creepy?
Huh, she replied. If I think of something, I'll mention it.
I reached the sealed hatch that accessed the passage to the engineering module, then had to work on the panel to bypass the damage I'd done to delay anyone opening it from the other side. Breaking the safe zone I'd established might not be a great idea, but my sentry drones on the other two sealed hatches had registered no activity, so as a calculated risk, it wasn't nearly as dumb as some other things I could think of. And the targets in the control area foyer still hadn't picked up the screen device, and I couldn't sit around and wait for them to get off their asses. Right, I could, but I wasn't going to. Amina said,
Everybody in the survey team must be really worried about us. I'm not glad you got caught, too, but if I was here alone, it would have been really bad. My Uncle Tiago is probably relieved that at least you're with me.
The hatch opened onto an empty corridor. No target drones. I sealed it again and left a sentry drone on this side to alert me if anything tampered with it. Then I sent the rest of my cloud ahead down the corridor. I knew Amina was trying to compliment me, but it was strange that her view of Tiago's opinion of me was so different from the objective reality. Your Uncle Tiago doesn't trust me. Not that I was upset about that or cared about it at all. She made a snorting noise that came through the feed and my drone audio.
Sure he does. You saved him from those people who attacked the facility.
That was beside the point. I'd saved a lot of humans, and the number who had trusted and or noticed me as anything other than an appliance attached to hub system afterward was statistically insignificant. He didn't like the way I did it,